In order to truly understand a community, one must study materials produced by the community itself to fully comprehend their ideological values and beliefs. The Jewish community of Saginaw, Michigan, created a number of special services celebrating particular events in the history of their synagogue, which demonstrate the core values and belief of the clergy and congregation at this time. One such service, a special Friday night service in dedication of the Encyclopedia Judaica, took place on October 27, 1972. The small pamphlet was created by Rabbi Henry E. Goldwater for Temple B'nai Israel to use in lieu of the synagogue's traditional prayer books, and was printed on light blue paper with dark blue ink, stapled once on the side. The mere fact that the synagogue prepared a completely separate service for this particular event illustrates the great value they placed on the release and subsequent acquisition of the Encyclopedia Judaica, which was published for the first time in 1971 and 1972 in New York by the Macmillan Company. The text of the service sheds light on the priorities of the synagogue as they relate to this new, incredible encyclopedia. The opening reading by the rabbi sets the tone for the rest of the service, asking congregants to take their seats in a mood of reverence, taking a moment of silence to orient themselves emotionally and mentally for their worship experience. In the response by the congregation, the purpose of this evening's service is clearly outlined. The rabbi and congregants read together in the middle of the paragraph, quote, "I have not had an opportunity to delve into your many books of learning," which sets the stage for a discussion of the importance of Jewish learning to this community. Judaism as a religion puts great emphasis on engaging with classical Jewish texts. While the Encyclopedia Judaica does not qualify as a classical Jewish text, it is obvious that the leaders of the Saginaw Jewish community considered the collection valuable enough to be lumped into the greater category of Jewish learning. The next section, read by the rabbi, states that inner peace comes from probing, searching, and the attainment of knowledge from the great books of Jewish learning. This is an incredibly bold statement for a rabbi to make at a worship service, since congregants commonly attend services hoping to be inspired by the words of their religious leaders. Even though this service was dedicated to celebrating the Encyclopedia Judaica, the synagogue leadership broadened the service to include all modes of classical Jewish study. Goldwater implies in the paragraph that knowledge is a God-given gift, and God blessed the masterminds of Jewish thought with their skills. He even goes so far as to say that Jewish text and study is the way that Jews can interact with God, and how God shows that he cares for the Jewish people. Therefore, this argument pushes congregants toward a lifetime of study in order to honor and connect with God and find serenity within themselves. The rest of the page furthers this particular argument by detailing the ways in which Jews are able to interact with the divine by using a play on words of the Shema. The rabbi says, "O Lord, where will you be found?" The congregation answers, "In the hearts of men." The rabbi says, "Despite the turmoil which inhabits the world?" And the congregation answers, "Yes, for God responds to those who seek him in truth, in love, in faith." The rabbi asks, "But what of the heart of man?" And the congregation responds, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your might." The rabbi says, "How?" And the congregation answers, "By opening up the books of the Talmud, the books of the Midrash, the books of Judaica, so that we can learn what Judaism teaches us. By grasping these words of wisdom and transmitting them unto the tablets of our heart, and placing them onto the bookshelves of our homes, and by binding them into the muscles and sinews of our hands and of the hands of our children, so that our entire family can act in righteousness and honor." For a liberal Jewish community struggling with the concept of God, this rabbi offers a solution to their questioning. Firstly, the rabbi places himself in the position of the questioner, perhaps in order to make the congregants more comfortable hearing the exchange. It might be uncomfortable for them to hear the rabbi playing the role of the answering God. If Goldwater then responds to the age-old question of why there is evil in the world, if God is truly found in the hearts of man, by reinforcing a statement that God is present among those who seek God. Goldwater strengthens his focus on learning in this example by providing his own interpretation of the Shema. He decodes the line, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your might," for the entire congregation, explaining that the way in which Jews show God how much they love him is by studying the sacred texts of their religion. He continues by rewriting the prayer line by line to suit his purposes, showing that Jewish learning fulfills our commitment to God that we pledge in the central prayer of the Jewish people. A few pages later, the entire exchange happens once again. The rabbi expresses doubt in God in the name of the congregation, wondering aloud why the biblical ideal of mankind living as one people bears no truth in modern times. And in return, the congregation asks God to help them see the error in their ways, and to help them learn so that they are able to connect with God in that special way. They equate moral direction, wisdom, comprehension, and spirituality with textual learning, balancing these positive attributes against power, status, and prosperity, which are labeled as having gone astray from the true purpose of the Jewish people. This Shabbat service illustrates how the values and ideals of the Saginaw Jewish community, such as its pervading love of Jewish learning, were expressed through internal synagogue documents and worship.